You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend. Hour two here on the Dan Patrick Show. Boys are here, ready to go. We'll talk some football with Chris Sims on loan from Football Night in America. We checked in with the Dallas Cowboys in the first hour of the show, and they still have 9 more games left. And that's not a good thing with the way they've played. Yesterday, mailing it in against the Washington football team. Andy Dalton with a concussion. Don't know what his status is going to be. Bears-Rams coming up tonight. Dodgers up 3-2 on the Rays. The Steelers, the only undefeated team. The Jets, the only winless team. We'll have a poll question. We got a stat of the day or two. By the way, the Bass Pro Shops in Cabela, there is a new flannel destination for the whole family this fall. Right now, they have their annual Flannel Fest in retail stores across North America. Shop their current flannel deals in stores or online today. We went down there and dove into the flannel department there. I lost the Danettes for a little while. Like I'm like a parent where you lose your child when they're in a store and they're hiding underneath clothes. And everybody's scattered in all different directions and picking up their flannel shirts there at Cabela's. Yes, Paulie.
Flannel heaven. You just walk through the thing.
Oh, I know.
There's plaid everywhere. I was going to move in.
You got a sickness towards flannel.
It's so cozy. It's like wearing a blanket socially. I mean, like if I could put a pillow behind my head and go to work, I would. I can't.
Yeah.
But you could put a flannel on.
We'll get to phone calls coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Phone number, 877-3DP-SHOW. And we say good morning to our radio affiliates in Peacock. You can download the app, and you can watch all 3 hours for free. Maybe it's not fair to compare Tom Brady's Bucks to Bill Belichick's Patriots, but that doesn't stop us from doing it. That was certainly the storyline coming into the season, or one of the storylines. And on Sunday, the difference between the two teams was pretty noticeable. Buccaneers beat the Raiders 45-20. They're now 5-2. Patriots got blown out at home by the Niners. They're now 2-4. Now, there's a little bit more to it. It's not just Brady now with the Bucs and Cam Newton in there in Tom's place with the Patriots. Everybody's got injuries. You saw Cam get benched there. It feels like the Buccaneers are figuring things out. It's already a really good defense. It really comes down to taking care of the football. And if Brady is able to take care of the football, that defense can be elite. And they just added Antonio Brown. I don't know if that's good or not, but they have weapons. We wanted to see what Tom could do with weapons. He gets rid of the ball so quickly. That's not a great offensive line. But he's getting rid of the ball so quickly, you can't get to him. You know, Brady was joining an already pretty good offense. And Jameis Winston threw for over 5,000 yards with this team. Brady's biggest thing is just don't throw interceptions like Winston did. But at 2-4, it's not a lost season. It's not looking good in New England. But as far as the Brady versus Belichick, Tom clearly in the lead with his team. Yes, Paulie.
Didn't you guys think that Gronkowski looked like, not back to Gronkowski, but he
better.
Looked like a normal player? Before, like the first week, it felt like he was laboring to get back, or if he got hit, he would get up kind of slow. He just felt like kind of normal Gronk, not superstar Gronk.
Yeah, and you bring up the key word, that's laboring. It felt like when he was running, he was carrying a piano on his back. He was laboring, just trying to, you know, find space in the field. And I mean, when they had O.J. Howard, I thought, okay, all Gronk has to do is stay healthy and come up with a couple big plays in the playoffs. Like, that's what I expect out of Gronk. Because you got Cameron Brate and you had O.J. Howard. But now, got to get a little bit more out of Gronk. And I think the key will be, how healthy is he going to be in January? Some of the other games yesterday that were interesting. Cleveland Browns beat the Bengals. 5 touchdown passes for Baker Mayfield. Joe Burrow is going to set the rookie record, I'm guessing, with passing yards. And on a bad team, he still looks very good. Russell Wilson, he now has, 22 touchdown passes for the season. That ties him with Peyton Manning for the most through a team's first 6 games in NFL history. Every other player to throw for at least 20 touchdowns through his team's first 6 games won the MVP. Manning did it, Tom Brady did it, and Brett Favre did it. And right now, Russell Wilson. And he has to be great every week. because that defense is so bad. You know, when I watch the Cowboys, I go, that's a bad defense. Then I watch Seattle and go, no, now that's a bad defense. These are two historical performances for all the wrong reasons with Dallas and Seattle. And Dallas gives up 20 points in the first half every game. Yeah, Paulie.
Remember how we talked about how Russell Wilson has never won an MVP? I don't think he's ever gotten a vote.
Yeah.
In September, he was a sure thing MVP. Last night was the opening to move on to another flavor of the month, though. You know I'm the biggest Russell Wilson fan, but three picks on national TV and a loss now opens the door for someone else to get in the mix, and that's how Russell didn't win it all these years. He's fantastic over the course of the season, but a national TV opening.
I think this opened the door for Brady a little bit. First two games, he had three touchdowns, three interceptions. The last five games, 15 touchdowns, one interception. And plus, there's a story here as well. It goes back to what I've told you. When people vote, they factor in the story. Like it or not, it's not just about the stats. Russell is that's a story because he's never even gotten a vote for MVP. And he's going to have to be incredible. I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger will get any consideration here. I don't know if the numbers are great, but the team is very good and still undefeated. And to go into Tennessee and beat that Titans team, that says a lot about them. They did allow the Titans get back in the game, but still undefeated. And I know that I yell at Chris Sims or Mike Florio that we talk about the MVP after week one or week two, and here I am talking about it now after 7 weeks. But I am curious about this with Tom Brady, with what he's doing with his team right now. We know what Russ has done. Some of these other players that you can factor in there. Aaron Rodgers, we've seen this before. You know, this is Ben coming back from an injury that might have ended his career. Brady going to a new team, doesn't get any training camp, any preseason games, struggles first two games, and then has looked, you know, very impressive in the last five. Yeah, McLovin.
But there was a moment in the third quarter where Twitter said, it's over, Russell Wilson is one. When he was throwing those 50-yard, Lewis Riddick said, just stop the MVP race, give it to him, and vote for second. Because those passes are incredible. Those rainmakers he throws, they're like 60 yards up in the air. I feel like he's still a distant first.
I don't think so.
The interceptions were like punts last night. No, they were the one.
They're still interceptions. You can't be saying they're like punts.
Well, people look at interception numbers and don't actually look at the interceptions. Like, they were kind of like, they were bad, but they weren't.
Well, if Buda Baker scores on that touchdown, you know, that's a terrible pick six, or would have been. You know, DK Metcalf, not that one tackle, one play is going to decide on MVP, but we might look back on that and say, man, if he had scored on a pick six, would we have looked at that play? I mean, it's a bad pass. Buda Baker made a great, great play, but so did DK Metcalf. Yeah, but I, you know, sometimes you can peak too soon and then people get tired of the story and they're like, oh, same, you know, wait, like they want something new. And that's where Brady playing like this, whether people want to vote for Brady or like that story. But I do think that he's crept back into the picture. Yeah, Paul.
What if the Arizona Cardinals won the NFC West? They're 5-2. They've outscored they won three in a row. Fresh story, fresh quarterback, likable name. Stats are getting there.
Well, that's people were trying to find a good bet in Vegas on who would be the MVP. And they were looking at Kyler Murray and Josh Allen because they were figuring that Mahomes in his second year, Lamar Jackson in his second year, and then maybe we were going to have another quarterback in his second year, Kyler Murray. And you know, Kyler looked really good last night. He's a really good player. I wonder, though, if Russell Wilson is not successful in the NFL, because here's a former baseball player and, you know, 6 feet tall, maybe. Does Kyler Murray get the same look? Because, you know, it feels like Russell Wilson opened a lot of eyes. You know, Drew Brees is a pocket quarterback, which is amazing at his size. But it feels like Russell Wilson opened some eyes. Michael Vick, I think, opened eyes as well. He just wasn't the passer that Russ is. I look at the success that Russell Wilson has had and what he has probably done with these scouts and GMs and owners to go, you can have a quarterback that's not 6 feet tall and be successful. Yeah, McLovin.
They read an interesting stat during the Panthers-Saints game that like 75% NFL quarterbacks are former shortstops. and they were talking about Tom House and Drew Brees, that shortstop is the most easily translatable because they have to throw the farthest and they turn their body. So it feels like there's like a baseball football connection going on a little bit. Maybe that's a stretch, but it's like Kyler Murray's like, remember you said he throws like a baseball player in the studio. It's like he's turning two. So maybe that's the kind of a key.
That's when I read one of the scouting reports that they questioned his arm, and I went, I don't know how you could possibly say that. When he was there with us in Atlanta and he was throwing, 20 yards to you? Man, that had so much get up. It was so quick. So much get up on it. And I went, how could anybody possibly go, I got questions or doubts about his arm. It goes back to what I've always said with scouts. With the quarterback, they're always looking for the negative part of it instead of what do you do well? Steph Curry can't play defense. Does he do other things well? Steve Nash, he can't play defense. Does he do other things well? Sometimes when Kyler Murray, he does things well. He does things great. You know, he's only 5'11". Okay, what else? What are the positives here? Because you'll talk yourself into a draft pick and out of a draft pick. And a lot of it has to do with, I'm just going to look at what you give me the candidate like Daniel Jones. Giants probably said, he doesn't do anything wrong. Does he do anything really well? Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky, he doesn't do anything wrong. Does he do anything really well? Yeah. Instead of this guy is electric, like Lamar Jackson. Teams talked themselves out of Lamar Jackson because they wondered, could he be a consistent thrower? Well, what Baltimore did is we're going to bring him in. We're going to run your offense at Louisville. And we're going to play to your strengths. Carolina did that with Cam Newton. They played to his strengths. And a lot of times teams won't do that. And Kyler Murray, I'm not surprised that he's successful. I'm surprised that people are surprised he's successful. Because he's extremely talented. The scary talent out there. And just the running ability alone. Like, that's a guy who could be Tyreek Hill. And then he's your quarterback. Yeah, Paul.
I projected out Kyler Murray's stats. We're 7 games in. He's on pace to throw for over 4,000 yards, throw for 30 touchdowns, and rush for exactly to the number 1,000 yards this season. Mm. He's the 10th ranked runner in the league, including running backs. If you want to compare this to Mike Vick, the year Mike Vick had 1,000 yards rushing, he threw for 2,400 yards and 20 touchdowns. Kyler Murray's on the pace for 1,000 yards rushing, 4,000 passing, and 30 touchdowns. Mm. If those numbers come together and they get...
They got to make the playoffs.
Yes. If you put those two together, though.
Yep. Usually, though, it's a number one seeded team where you get that MVP. But making the playoffs a wild card, if they win the division, then I think you're going to get a lot of attention from the voters. Yeah, McLove.
I think Russell has an angle, too, because his defense is so bad. He's going to have to throw all game long every game. So if he gets the touchdown record, that would help, too. Like, records help.
A couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Jeff in Milwaukee. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for holding. Best and worst. Hey, Jeff.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Jeff.
Sorry, Dan. Best and worst is Graham Mertz. Wisconsin's been waiting for this quarterback for a while, not just him specifically. But when Russell Wilson came, we kind of thought that maybe quarterbacks would come to Wisconsin. Great offensive line, good defense, running backs, pro-style offense. Paul Chris, good coach. And now he has COVID.
No.
So, kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and he really looked good. He looked very sharp. Granted, it was Illinois, but he looked very sharp in that game. I think he had, one incompletion maybe?
Yeah, 5 touchdowns, 1 incompletion.
And he was a big-time recruit. But I don't know. It's not confirmed that he has COVID. But I saw is he going to be in isolation, quarantine for 3 weeks?
I think I heard that. I'll double-check that there might be a Big Ten rule that is pretty tough. But let me double-check that to make sure.
Because he's just in, COVID protocol, isn't he? He's not.
So he had a quick test that was positive, and he's waiting the more serious test, right?
Okay.
I believe.
Jonathan in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, DP. Best of the worst of the weekend. Worst of the weekend is Dallas Cowboys. My Dallas Cowboys, man, their performance of defense is terrible, horrible. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Their defense is horrible. I don't know, Mike Nolan.
Jonathan, where are you?
I'm in the store.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
But no. Mike Nolan, man, his defense, I don't know what he's doing. His defense is horrible. I'd rather have Rob Marinelli or Chris Richard from last year, because I think their defense did pretty good last year, but this year is horrible. My best is Big Ten comeback, the Buckeyes. Oh, man, what a wonderful game. Justin Fields did a phenomenal job. But that's my best of the worst. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Good luck with your shopping there, Jonathan. Justin Fields looked great, you know, but, I mean, you're beating Nebraska. Yeah, McClubbin.
Do we have a 1-2 Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning thing yet? Can we go there, you know, for the draft, that is, with Fields and Lowards?
Well, it depends on who has those draft picks, what teams. But do I think those are the two top draft picks?
You know, sometimes teams trade up to get a quarterback there anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to guess so. I think what you'll see is Justin Fields showing that he can run, because it feels like that's the new wave of quarterbacking, that you come in and you show that you can throw. We've seen that with him, but also his ability to run or extend a play. That'll probably be what Justin Fields is. I don't know if he's working on that, but I think if that's part of the game plan, that would be interesting for Ohio State. I'm watching that game, and I was like, wait a minute. What's the spread here on Ohio State, Nebraska? And, you know, just curiosity, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to get to the 1 yard line and then they're not going to cover. And then all of a sudden, a freshman quarterback comes in. He scores. Then Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, says, hey, you know, that was my bad. We didn't have our take a knee team in there. Like, oh my gosh, we can't take a knee without our take a knee team in there. And they covered. I don't know if Ryan Day knew the spread. Probably. You know, Ohio State fans were hoping that he would cover, but we didn't have our take a knee team. Yes, McClub.
Does the Syracuse coming within 30 points of Clemson count as the shock of the year? That was
surprising.
Todd was actually talking some trash on our text chain a little bit.
It was a 6-point game at one point. It was like 27-21.
I think it was 6-0 at that point when it was a 6-point game.
Gave him a little scare early and then just came apart immediately.
If you test positive in the Big Ten protocol, at least 21 days. At least 21 days. So he'll miss Nebraska, Purdue, and at Michigan. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, you could return to practice after 14 days of testing cleanly, but not to competition. So that would be 3 weeks, yes.
Did you see where the reporter was asking about the Clemson's lack of energy in the game? And Trevor Lawrence had said that in a subsequent press conference, and Dabo Swinney got all, you know, sensitive on, you know, nobody's going to ask me any positive questions here. Like, you got, like, dude, lighten up, you know, and not everybody, you know, these reporters are reporters, you know, they got to ask questions. And Trevor Lawrence, your own quarterback, questioned the energy level of your team. And Dabo got all sensitive here. Easy there, Dabo.
Am I in the wrong room? Didn't we win the game?
Yeah, no.
The winning team.
So. Oh, Dabo, don't take yourself so seriously. Am I in the wrong room? I thought we won the game. Is anybody going to ask me some positive questions here? Yes.
He'll have the exact opposite problem when he's a Jets coach next year.
No.
He's not going anywhere. If he has a hard time handling these questions... Oh, my God. You put him in New York? No, that wouldn't be good. Wait, are you guys going to ask me anything nice? We did win the game. Yeah, your own quarterback is the one who said that you guys lacked energy. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls will give you our best and worst of the weekend. Up next, the popular Chris Sims will join us on loan from Football Night in America. Antonio Brown, a good pickup for the Buccaneers among the topics that we'll discuss. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Got some breaking news on Odell Beckham Jr. Have that for you here in a moment. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living an uninspired performance. Visit mbusa.com/AMG. Find out if a Mercedes-AMG coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. Josina Anderson is reporting Odell Beckham Jr. just texted her to say his ACL is torn. His season is over. And with that, we make way for the co-host of Pro Football Talk Live, the former NFL quarterback and one of the stars on Football Night in America, Chris Sims, joining us. Well, what's this going to mean for the Browns, Chris?
Well, I mean, it's a big blow for their football team. There's no doubt about that. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., despite, you know, lack of, you know, big stats or like a consistent, you know, niche in the offense, he does have more value to an offense than the stats, right, Dan? I mean, that's the big thing. He's going to open up other receivers. He helps the run game because he puts defenses in the dilemma. Do you want to play one-on-one against Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you want to put the safety over the top? Oh, the safety's over the top. Then we can run the ball. So it will hurt them. He's a playmaker that way. But they do have some other weapons, a good run game, to where I don't look at it and go, oh, they're done. It's over now. Not like that.
I'm not quite sure how good they were with Odell Beckham, because they beat the Bengals twice. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Washington football team. So they got blown out in their two losses. I don't know how good they are.
Yeah, no, I think that's very fair. I think it's a defense that has a really good front four, but it's kind of average across the board everywhere else. Offensively, you know, Baker Mayfield's been very inconsistent all year. He was awesome yesterday. I mean, he really was. But, you know, the drop back pass game is the last part of what I need to see out of Cleveland, too, because when they don't run the ball, they look like they struggle when they are just asked to drop back and throw the ball 40, 45 times a game. And that's probably the next thing we got to see from them for when those teams do shut down the great run Cleveland attack.
What would you do if you're Jerry Jones?
Well, I'd still let this ride out right now, as far as like if you're saying, do you make any rash decisions, firings, things like that? No. Now, it's a very tough circumstance they've been put in. I mean, no doubt, new coaches. They obviously may have had an issue with Mike Nolan. He's a 3-4 base guy, and you got all these guys from the old regime, the Seattle scheme, 4-3, shoot the gap. So there's a true disconnect there where the players don't match the scheme. And then, you know, obviously, offensively, you know, for all those people out there who were kind of like, oh, Dak Prescott, they should just pay Andy Dalton this $7 million and go with him. We don't need Dak Prescott. Well, you're seeing he's a little bit better than maybe we all wanted to give him credit for. They're a mess right now. They stink. But I think he's got to ride it out a little bit and let Mike McCarthy try to figure this out and make a mark with the team before he does anything rash.
Mike McCarthy called out his team after the loss, saying that somebody should have gotten in John Bostic's face after the cheap shot on Andy Dalton. Like, how does that work with sticking up for a player, sticking up for your quarterback, and should the coach be calling out your team publicly like that?
Well, I think he'd like to see a little more fire and fight from them. I mean, just in general, to where that game was at that point anyways. I mean, it was like they were kind of content, like, oh, Washington's running us over. Big deal. Okay, that's great. I mean, there is just a lack of intensity overall with the Dallas Cowboy football team. It is a fine line, Dan. I mean, it's a good question, because you're always beat into your head in the meetings all week. Don't do anything stupid. Don't get us personal fouls. Don't put us in a bad position. I think if it's the normal Cowboys starting offensive line, it's Zach Martin's out there with Tyrone Smith and Lyle Collins, they probably take something like that more personal. But you got a mismatch of guys there. And I think the other thing that played into it, Dan, is it was such an intense, aggressive hit. I think a lot of guys were more like, wait, I got to check to see if Andy Dalton's all right before I start to go get in this guy's face about the cheap shot. And I think that's worrisome kind of took over in this particular circumstance as well.
Have you ever been in a bad locker room?
I can't say that I've been in a bad locker room. No, I've been in locker rooms, of course, that were better than others, but I can't remember being in one where I was like, man, we're dysfunctional. We're a mess. This is really bad. I can't say that I was in ever one like that.
I was just wondering, watching the Cowboys, that, you know, you get paid, you see guys get paid, and then they play differently. We see this running backs all the time.
Yes.
And is this a fair criticism of this entire team that Amari Cooper is, he's probably a nice guy and a good receiver, but Zeke Elliott got paid, Cooper got paid, the offensive line got paid, you know, your defensive players, everybody got paid. And they play like they got paid, not that they want to get paid.
Yeah, there's a lack of grit with their football team. Yes, it can go two ways. It can go, wait, you got paid, and now, oh, let me kick my feet back and enjoy the money, and the stress is out. Or it can go, I got paid, I've got insurance, now I can lay it on the line. Like, Alvin Kamara is that guy. I feel like ever since he signed that contract, all of a sudden he's like, he's breaking 97 tackles every play, and it's just pedal to the metal. But yes, with Dallas, it seems like they just think, hey, at times we're Dallas. We got all these great facilities. We got these cool helmets. We're America's team. Look at all these studs we got on the roster. If we just show up, we're going to win football games. And that's not the case. Salary cap, free agency, the way it is this day and age, the difference between the worst team and the best team in football is not that great, as you know. And they seem to want to anoint themselves before they do the dirty work, to your point.
What's the difference with Tom Brady the last five games as opposed to the first two?
Well, I think they found out, they slowly kind of broke him into being more comfortable throwing the ball down the field that way. And I think they've just found the right balance of, hey, spread it out, Tom Brady quick passes. Hey, two tight ends in the game, we're going to take some shots down the field, and then we can overpower you with the run game. Dan, they're the best team in the NFC. There they are. I mean, they're the most complete team for sure. And they're still going up. There's really not a, I've been saying this for 2 weeks, there's really not a weakness with their team. O-line's good. Run game's good. Weapons galore. Brady's awesome. Front seven might be one of the best in football. And they got young shutdown cover corners who, yeah, have made a few mistakes. But I just would say, when you look at all those factors and you look at the Packers, who have questions on defense, and Seattle, questions on defense, I look at Tampa right now and just go, watch out, because I think they're the cream of the crop.
Bringing in Antonio Brown, good, bad?
I think it's good. Because first off, Brady can handle it. Brady's got great people skills, charisma. He obviously made a connection with them. And I think it's one, add to the weaponry. We know it. It's here to be had. They could win the Super Bowl this year. So more matchup nightmares across the board. And I think the other thing with COVID-19, Mike Evans being banged up, Chris Godwin being banged up, they're probably looking at it like, man, we don't want to lose one of these guys for 6 or 7 weeks and really have to struggle through our offensive ways here. He gives them insurance as far as that's concerned as well.
What has changed with the Patriots?
Well, you know, COVID-19 screwed them badly. I mean, Cam's never been back in rhythm since he, missed that time. You know, the one thing we saw, they played that Kansas City Chiefs football game, and that was there to be had. They could have won it. They can run the football and control the clock, but they kind of have to play that style of football game. You know, last week it was rusty against Denver. They made some mistakes, all that. Denver did a good job, whatever. We know they didn't practice. Yesterday was a pure bad matchup, butt whooping. One thing to watch out for the Patriots, Dan, they don't have any defensive tackles. They don't have any size on their front. So you can run the ball on them if you have a good running attack. And that's what Shanahan did yesterday. And they took away that running attack from the Patriots. You kind of have to play that style. They want to control the clock, get out in front of you. Then Bill can do all crazy things on defense, and their secondary can match up with people. And that's their position of power. And they haven't been able to do that the last 2 weeks.
If I could give you Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray for the next 10 years.
Oh, man. That is a really good one, because it's three. I mean, I got man crushes in all three of them. I don't know where I'd go here. I think right now, I'd probably still go Kyler Murray. I would go Kyler Murray as we sit here right now, just because I probably have seen more evidence of him. Justin Herbert, though, and Joe Burrow are not far behind. I mean, they're both, as I know why you're asking me, because you watch on Sundays and your jaw drops 4 or 5 times a game watching Herbert and Burrow, because you just go, damn, what a throw, what a decision, what a play. I mean, really, they're budding superstars. I'm excited about both, but I'll give Murray the edge right now.
If Murray throws for 4,000 yards, they make the playoffs, he rushes for 1,000. Can he? I know that, you know, we've made Russell Wilson the clear favorite for MVP. I think Brady's back in the picture and should be. And yep. I don't know if Kyler Murray can get in there if he has a unique season. What do you think?
I think he certainly can make some people think about it as they go to the ballot box there for MVP voting. Because, the thing is, too, like Russell, you know, it's just everything they do is formulated around them and their skill set and the way they play and the pressure they apply on defense is all about what the quarterback does that way. To where I hear you. If they get in the playoffs at a 10-6 and he has some crazy stat line like that, and – as you see last night, it's not always like surgical, offensive, just we pick you apart. A lot of it is like, oh, wait, nobody's open. And then there he goes making seven guys miss because he's got three rockets up his butt. I mean, he's unbelievable that way. I mean, yeah, he's got three of them. He can
not,
fly.
Not literally. Not literally.
Not literally. No, yeah. Figuratively. Yes.
Explain this to me with Tua Tagovailoa coming in as a left-hander. Offenses are geared towards a right-handed quarterback normally. How does this change with a left-handed quarterback coming in?
The biggest thing more than anything is like bootlegs and play actions and maybe setting up your offense that way, right? To where, hey, more times than not, you want your lefty on a bootleg to be end up rolling to his left. Not all the time, but let's say 8 out of 10 times. And that's where the juggling match goes on for the offensive coordinator to think about protections and just little nuances like that with like the play action pass. Oh, let me call it this way so he doesn't have to turn his back completely to the coverage and not see it. They'll get used to it. There'll probably be a few minute moments where Shane Gailey will go, oh, damn it, damn lefty, blah, 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 and he'll figure it out. But I've been through it. They'll figure it out.
What's it like when you get replaced?
It's devastating. I mean, it's like losing a loved one. I don't know any other way to say
it. How are you told? Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's finding out how we're finding out with social media and this story. His family found out that way.
Right.
Like, does the coach, head coach come or offensive coordinator?
Like, usually it would be like an offensive coordinator or a head coach. It's going to either work like this. Either all of a sudden somebody's going to come down and say, hey, the head coach wants to see you and you got to go up there. Or you're going to have an offensive meeting or something like that, and the offensive coordinator is going to give you a little inkling that they might make a move or something, and, hey, the head coach wants to talk to you. And that's usually how the news is broke to you. But, yeah, that was a shocker, but I also understand it. You know, they were in danger of kind of setting it up a bad way for Tua. They got a schedule that sets up, Dan, where they could be sitting here at 8-4 in a few weeks, and then you go, wait, are we going to pull Fitzpatrick then? Or are we going to put Tua in and then we lose a bunch of games and everybody blames him going to the offseason? Or do we go to the playoffs at 10-6 with Fitzpatrick and then start the next year with Tua and we start out 0-2 and everybody's like, oh, why did we leave Fitzpatrick? So I think they realize that the team is set up for Tua to succeed and that they were in danger of kind of setting up a narrative that they didn't want to deal with.
Is Sam Darnold the quarterback for the Jets next year?
I would say no right now. You know, and that's not because of Sam Darnold. You know, I feel bad for Sam Darnold. You could still win football games and be successful with him at quarterback. You know, this goes back to the conversation you and I have a lot. It's more than there's the quarterback. You know, build a damn team around somebody. I don't care if you put Aaron Rodgers or
Oh, I think
Brady.
It'd be a blessing in disguise, Chris, if I'm Sam Darnold.
Yeah, right, right.
And I get to go to Pittsburgh and back up Ben Roethlisberger for a year or two. Or maybe Chicago. I think Sam can play, but it might be he'll do better getting out of New York, I think.
I don't disagree. You know, and there's going to be plenty of spots. I mean, who knows? What, New Orleans will be open next year. Indianapolis
Wait, they
might
got
be
Taysom
open.
Hill down there.
Well, I don't know. I'm just throwing out, you know, spots that could be a possibility.
New England might be open.
I think there's plenty of places that we could see opportunities like this. But I think ultimately Trevor Lawrence is that type of player coming out of Clemson where it's going to be hard to turn him down if you have the number one pick in the draft. Between the media, how good he is, the public pressure, all that. You don't want to see him go somewhere else and light it up and go, oh, we passed up on him.
No, that ain't happening.
No.
If you're the Jets and you got Sam Darnold and Trevor Lawrence is there at the number one pick, you're taking Trevor Lawrence, right?
I am. Yeah, I can't pass up Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, I don't think you could do that. And plus, they're not deep enough in it, and like don't have anything set up for Sam Darnold anyway. So you might as well start it all over and figure it out as we go with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but if you're Trevor Lawrence, do you want to go to the Jets?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, really, both New York teams are probably in the conversation for Trevor Lawrence up here. You know, and again, I don't agree with it. I think Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold, you can win games with. Everybody needs some help a little bit.
If the Jets and Giants merged,
right,
would they be a playoff team?
I don't know. I don't think they would be. I don't. I'm not, you know, you're catching me off guard, but I just think about this. I go secondary. Okay. We got Bradbury for the Giants, but damn, we got a whole lot of average after that.
But if you get to play in the NFC East.
Well, then maybe you're a playoff team. Okay. If you get to play in the NFC East, then you're a playoff team. Okay. Yes. There's that caveat for sure.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Good talking to you too, guys. Be good. See you, Dan.
Chris Sims. Co-host with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live, and the former NFL quarterback and one of the stars of Football Night in America. More phone calls coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend as well. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Not sure if we settled on a poll question, McLovin. Did we? Did we settle on a poll question?
I actually put one up, a Pauly suggestion.
Okay.
It's kind of off of J.J. Watt played Green Bay this weekend, and pretty much anybody who has a affiliation for Wisconsin or Green Bay said, please let him go home with the Packers after the game. Who is a player that should be traded? J.J. Watt, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Julio Jones / Matt Ryan. Mm. Michael Thomas on the Saints, or maybe Sam Darnold now, trade him now instead of waiting for the offseason. Trade deadline is, I believe, next Monday.
I don't know what you want to get for these players. And I would say none of those players should be traded or will be traded.
Okay. No, you don't think the Atlanta pulls the trigger on anything?
No. I think Julio, no. Somebody I spoke to on Sunday when, you know, Mike Florio put it out there that he was hearing maybe Michael Thomas is going to be traded. And I checked with a source and said, Michael Thomas isn't going to be traded. And then Sean Payton came out and said, the only place he's going to be traded is in your fantasy league. And then Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, you know, from what I'm told, they're not going to be traded. And, you know, there's just these salary cap implications are really big, but I don't see J.J. Watt being traded.
What's going to happen to J.J. Watt, though? Is he just going to play out the string here? And
I'm going to guess this is his last year there. It feels like it. Yeah, Paulie.
Well, then if it's his last year, if you could get a fourth-round pick to Seattle, which has no defense, wouldn't you give that a shot if you were the Houston Texans? Kick the tires. I know it's expensive and it's all money.
Yeah, I don't know how this works with the salary cap and what, you know, like dead cap money and all of that stuff here, but I mean, Houston, it has got to get out from underneath this. And you're going to waste Deshaun Watson. Said it from the first time he was playing, that first season. You're going to waste these good years with Deshaun Watson. Yeah, McLovin.
Isn't there some symbolism with J.J. too? He's the greatest player in franchise history. Just to ceremoniously dump him at the trade deadline feels
I don't see
unfair.
That happening. Yeah, Paul.
That's the opposite of the emotion you should have. The Patriots have zero emotion the past two decades. Ty Law, Richard Seymour, they got rid of all those guys before you're paying them to be ceremonial.
Yeah, but the Texans aren't the Patriots.
So right.
They don't, you know, they don't do those things. That's why they're the Texans and the Patriots are the Patriots. Travis in Ohio. Hey, Travis, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, DP, how we doing? Good. I got a best, worst, and observation for
okay.
You. Go Brownies. First of all, it's a little more somber after hearing the OBJ news. Worst of the weekend, obviously, is OBJ tearing the ACL. That's terrible. Mm. Guy's a great player. He's a football god. I mean, it sucks to lose him. Best of the weekend was the younger guys stepping up, Peoples Jones with that Santonio Holmes-esque catch to win the game was awesome. And now my observation. Mm. After Odell Beckham went out of the game, Baker Mayfield returned to his rookie form, and that offense gelled unlike it has gelled since Odell Beckham has been there. Is there any chance that maybe he was stopping Baker Mayfield from progressing and going to multiple reads? And,
well,
I don't know. The guy just looked a lot better.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call, Travis. I said that last year that I thought Baker was trying to acquiesce to Odell Beckham Jr., try to satisfy him, keep him happy. And it felt like he was going out of his way. But I still think Jarvis Landry is their best receiver. But once again, if you're just joining us, Odell Beckham Jr. is out, torn ACL, out for the season. But Baker has to be great, or at least very good for this team. But they're a playoff caliber team, in my opinion. Yeah, McLovin.
How about that division, though? Man, take out the Bengals. Those two teams, they have to play.
I know. That's why I wondered, could you get three teams out of that conference? Can you get three out of the NFC West? Like there's a couple of these divisions that are really, really challenging. Ted in Tampa. Hey, Ted.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How's it going?
Good. How's the offensive line treating you?
If we could just replace that left tackle, they'd be okay. 2 weeks ago, you remember the Packers rusher came in, ran right over Donovan Smith, shoved his hand right into Brady's helmet, and came within 1 inch of taking Brady's left eye out. Matter of fact, Brady still has a scar under his left eye. So we came within 1 inch of losing Brady for the season due to our left tackle. But worst and best of the weekend. Worst of the weekend was Manuel Margot being thrown out trying to steal home last night. That wasn't Randy Rosarena.
Oh, my bad.
Best of the weekend, though, weekend. Dan Patrick Show gets a call out from the Oval Office. Last Friday, 12 o'clock, if you want to pull it up on YouTube, the president had a meeting in the Oval Office to discuss the Middle East peace plan with Sudan signing on as the new signatory. This lady in the press pool kept saying Sudan through her mask. She asked the president about three times these questions, but he couldn't hear her clearly. And she said, Sudan, Sudan. And so the president asked her, he said, are you talking about the Dan Patrick Show?
I'll have some of my best people on that. Final hour coming up. Give you our best and worst of the weekend. More phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. Monday edition, Dan Patrick Show.